We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
During that interview, there were things happening outside my window here. I am ground level facing my backyard, okay?
Yeah.
We've got knockout rose bushes in front of me. We've got a cactus.
Let's stop. No, put this in the show.
The show is happening.
Yeah, the show's happening. Show's always happening.
I have to start the show from the top of the show. We don't start the show with the interview. We start the show from the top of the show.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll get back to it. All right.
What is that? Oh, yeah. Okay, this is the cold open now because you guys are just like, oh, yeah. You sound like you're the two guys from Weekend at fucking Bernie's.
Nice reference.
What did I do to everybody?
There it
Why
goes
is
again.
Being so mean to me.
We were nice to you last time.
I feel like Raleigh St. Clair after he realizes he's been cucked in fucking Royal Tenenbaums.
You've made a cuckold of me.
I want to die.
Let's grow. This is the fourth time we've tried to start the podcast, and honestly, my energy's up. I feel good. Hang on one second. I'm going to take a shot. The rare afternoon taping of Hand in the Dirt. And this episode, we got Hartzell in the building.
Yes.
We got Cerber in the building.
Why you laugh? Why do you just immediately laugh?
Because we're going to get to our guest, Holly Anderson, in a second, she's our top guest. She's our top pod. Like, shout out to everyone in Canada, Pakistan, Japan that loves Holly Anderson. She's unstoppable. We're going to talk about plant sex. We're definitely going to talk about our, I don't know what to call, like, what would you guys call pests that are good?
I mean, good pests?
Right. And my wife got it. She was all up on me about, like, you can't call, there's no such thing as a good pest. Pests are bad. So, let's get into our light talk topics. Let's start with Yaya's corner.
Yaya's happy. Oh, I mean, No. I was joking with Cerber before the show about
what?
Well, I got reaction from the show last week, and from my mom, and I would just like to clarify. My mom and I have a very healthy relationship. I love that she's all up in my junk. Okay, that's what moms do. So
damn it, damage control right now.
It's a beautiful thing, but I did get, I heard some feedback.
You were mean.
I was just joking. So anyway, I love you, Mom. But yeah, it's great. Her garden is popping. And
I saw some of the pictures. They look good. Julian out there with them.
Yeah, it's a family affair. Blueberries are coming in. Blackberries around the fence that were like immature plants. They were just thorny things like 2 years ago are actually bearing fruit. So life is good, man. I'm looking out at, ooh, there it goes again. I've got a hummingbird that is doing laps in front of my office window, like my little setup here. It's ground level. I'll paint the picture for you. I've got a Japanese maple to my right. I've got a row of knockout rose bushes some of which do need to be trimmed because we got some deadheads, but it's been a rough week weather-wise. And there's this purple...
Hartzell, you a deadhead?
I mean, I get down. Sure. Why not?
Okay, just asking.
I missed out. You're talking about the Grateful Dead? Generationally, I missed out. I mean, I'm an 83 baby, and Jerry died in, what, 95?
R.I.P.
Miss you every day, Jerry. But I missed out on the Dead. That's kind of more like my cousins, you know, like my older family.
Got it.
I missed out. But there's a purple-chested hummingbird that's swinging back and forth between these two hanging plants. That's probably
and what color is the rest of the body? Is it like
black,
the blue?
Yeah, no, it's black. Yeah, black and purple. We've got a green one that's been hanging around. Mm-hmm. They're gorgeous, and I mean, we talked about like athletes, but like hummingbirds are,
remarkable.
Like, yeah, they're like freaks. I mean, it's amazing. Usually, you can hear them, and I can't see them. You just kind of hear the. Anyway, this guy's just going zigzagging all over the place. He's like
transfer portal.
It's amazing watching this thing go. Anyway, so I don't know if these are like weeds or what, but there's these little purple flowers coming up off the out of the border garden. It's not henbit. No, that's a winter weed. Come on, bro, do better. Right? Isn't that a winter weed?
Oh, he's teaching me now.
Yes.
The master has the student has become the master.
Hey, look, I've learned a lot from this show. By the way, I mentioned the roses. I do want to ask you a quick question. I know Yaya's corner is taking a turn.
Well, don't worry. We can do this, and then we'll go to the next segment.
The proper way to deadhead. Okay, these are again these are roses that have bloomed and are now just laying there, kind of brown and lifeless. What's the right way to do it, Felder?
Oh, you use your pruners and you just cut those bad boys off the top.
At an angle, though, right? Isn't that? Yes. I read that at an angle is better.
At an angle, and you can go down to the second leaf and cut them off at an angle. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. That's a project that needs to get done. But no, man, the yard is good, man. It needs a nice mow. It's been raining for four straight days.
You're lucky. You have knockout roses, right? So you have like the big, like the roses that are as big as like your fist.
Yeah, they're happy.
So what I have is drift roses. And the drift roses they're probably the size of, you know, a silver dollar, maybe the size of like your palm.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, and so when I go out and deadhead, I'm deadheading like 150 roses because they all bloom at the same time. And then you deadhead them and then you cut them back and that whole thing happens. And then 150 more happen the next week, which I love because they always look good, but you're lucky because you're not going to have to cut that many roses. You got the big guys. I had the little guys.
And I would like to mention that the jasmine plant that was put in by me, it's my one kind of plant purchase that I really wanted to do well this year because I like creepers. I like vines, stuff that kind of grows up and out over these fences.
Is it creeping?
It's creeping. Yeah, it's creeping in a good way. So
I'm creeping.
And I'm happy with it.
I haven't stopped beeping.
I haven't killed it yet, and I think I feel good about it. So anyway, life is good here, man.
That's good. That feels good.
It does. Yeah.
That's good. That feels good.
Summer is my favorite month, and it's right around the corner. So I'm here. Let's go.
Summer is your favorite month or July?
Well, I mean, I like summer. I like it hot.
Some like it hot. Was that bad?
No, man. It's just this show has a different it feels different taping in the afternoon than when we normally tape, right?
Yeah. I'm drinking, so
yeah. Well, and there you go.
Serber, what do you got? You got anything new?
No, not at all. No. I have nothing new going on in the yard. Like Hartzell said, it's been raining relatively every day since the last show that we taped, but I did, you know, I got out, we did the double mow again, which is phenomenal. This time I did it with my dad.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Dad was in town. He's a truck driver. So he's home, you know, every 3 weeks or so.
You replace your wife with your dad.
Well, no, you know, Chelsea she deserved a break.
She needed, you know, yeah.
Chill in the house. Take a load off with the dog.
Yeah. Relax. Put your feet up.
Yeah, we will take care of it. Oh, I guess I should have mentioned I took a tree down.
What? How is that not the lead into this?
Well, it's not a very big tree. It was like
13, 14 foot, like little thing that had, it was like a, more like a sapling that had gotten out of control. Really?
Do you have a chainsaw or use it with like a regular axe or what'd you do?
Oh, no. I used the electric chainsaw. Nice. And when I was, okay, so after I finished cutting up the limbs, I used the wheelbarrow to roll them up to the road in one trip instead of taking multiple trips carrying them.
Nice.
Further adding value to the wheelbarrow.
Wheelbarrows are undefeated. They are the greatest. That's why they were number one in my power rankings. Love a wheelbarrow. So we do have to get back to Hartzell's corner. We go from Yaya to Mama.
Mama's good. Like I said, I mean, I'm not throwing any shade here, man. The Zoysia sod is popping. I'm actually going to get to see
it's
my mom.
Better now?
Yeah, it's doing better. Liz is actually coming up here because we're doing a little retreat to the mountains with the fam for like 4 days. So we're unplugging. In fact, by the time this episode drops, we'll be on 421 West. Giddy up.
You'll be on 420.
No, 421. It's not an interstate. It's a highway.
It's for when, it is a highway, isn't it?
I guess it could be a frame of mind as well. But look, man, Felder, we got Father's Day coming up.
Yeah, Father's Day just happened, but we're not doing anything for Father's Day.
Well, it's your day, so it's whatever you want to do, and what you want to do consists of lounging. Yeah.
Yeah. Father's Day. So I got my, I already bought my dad his Father's Day gift. And obviously when this comes out, it'll be after Father's Day. The gift that I got my dad for Father's Day is a, so there's two gifts. The first thing I got him, and it already got delivered to him 3 weeks ago. And it's like the Kodiak claws for pulled pork.
I'm not familiar. Talk to me.
Oh, it's for these, like, I think I know what you mean.
The claws that you use to pull pork. Like you put the gloves on and the claws and then you pull the pork.
Oh, like Wolverine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Like Wolverine.
We use big forks, man, but that's cool. There's like there's a tool for that. That's awesome.
No, you know what? I'm putting this into the chat now because I need you to see what I'm talking about. The Kodiak claws.
They literally look like they make your hands into bear hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Like grizzly bear hands.
And so I got him those with the gloves and he was like, oh, this is cool. Cause he made pulled pork and he was like, I don't know how to pull it. And I was like, he didn't say, I don't know how to pull it. He was like, I guess I'll just use the forks on these. And I was like, oh, you got to get the Kodiak claws cause they're heat resistant.
Oh, cool.
And so I got him that, but the thing that the gift that I got for my dad and my brother and myself, I got a shirt that we used to wear when I was a kid, and I will also put this into the chat because I think you guys are going to look at this and be like, your parents let you wear this? This shirt is insane. I got it. My family, my dad's family is from Fayetteville. And Cerber, when you look at that shirt, let me know. The shirt says...
I think my grandfather had this flag. Let me pull this up. Yep.
Yeah, it's the 82nd Airborne Death from Above T-shirt.
And the only thing that would be like more like, oh God, a small child is wearing this isn't the Army Rangers like kill them all, let God sort them out? It's like the same type of vibe though.
I couldn't find that shirt because that is literally the shirt that I had when I was a kid. It had like the rifle shooting, the skull, the paratrooper, the holding, and then it said, kill them all, let God sort them out.
Yep. My opa had that flag up in the garage.
You call your grandfather life. Opa?
Yeah, I do.
Felder, what do you call your grandpa?
We call him Pops.
I call mine Pawpaw.
Nice.
Opa, Pawpaw, Pops. I like that. It's good.
I have a Papaw, too, from my Southern heritage, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just curious.
No, I call him Grandpa, but then we call him Pops. Like everyone calls him Pops. And then the other thing that everyone calls him is Felder. And so, like, it's like, Felder, where's Felder? Felder, Felder, Felder. And it's like, we're all Felder, but he's like the Felder.
Sure.
And then we get into now I'm becoming the Felder. So that's what it is. But we got to, so we did the whole Hartzell's corner. I'll tell you what.
Very brief visit.
Guys, let's take a break. And with this break, let's get into the interview with Holly Anderson, where we kick off our main topic, good bugs and reptiles and mammals too, because she talks about cats. Let's do it. Let's grow. That's right. Hand of the dirt. We got our guest here, Holly Anderson. You know her from our debut episode. You know her from the update where she's not growing as many tomatoes, but she is still growing tomatoes. We know she's the queen of troughs. And listen, Holly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. How about you?
I just took a sip of beer. So that's how I'm doing in the middle of the day on a freaking Thursday. I've been driven to drink a little earlier than usual because we had to get our AC unit replaced. And I laughed last week at Cerber having to get his AC worked on. And then lo and behold, Tuesday, my AC goes out. We get to 80 something degrees in the house and, you know, I run hot. So
that's the quality of life issue.
Yeah. And so we had to get that thing replaced. But Holly, wanted to bring you on. We're going to talk college football. We are going to talk gardening. We're going to talk about the troughs because I am so impressed by them. Quite honestly, they look beautiful. We're also going to talk a little field dirt. I think the thing we're going to start with, though, is Duke's mayonnaise getting a bowl game.
News from back home. Have you ever wanted to be in Charlotte more than you do right now?
Yeah, I mean, I bought four 32-ounce containers from Duke's today because I was like, you know what, I am getting low and I do want to support them so they can continue to support this bowl game, which, side note, only bowl game I went to when I was at UNC when it was called the Continental Tire Bowl.
God, what a come up, right? From Continental Tire to Meineke, Belk to Duke's.
Yeah, this is big. So I love it. And listen, Belk, you're talking about a place that my mom took me to get, you know, I think my first suits came from Belk's, as we call it. Possibly, might have been JCPenney, but I think Belk's was heavily featured in there. And then, of course, we get to Duke's, that's the only mayonnaise I'll ever use. Like, do you stand Duke's the way I do?
Oh, yeah. When I lived on the West Coast, my parents used to mail it to me during tomato season.
Yes, 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 yes. My parents mail me Duke's, too. I literally, like, that's a big thing. And so I love that. And I mean, speaking of tomatoes, can we talk about Luke Kuechly and the tomato sandwich construction?
Okay. My boss, Ryan Nanny, raised a good point this morning. I am concerned that this is going to make people think they should make tomato sandwiches right now. We're about a month too early, right?
I love it. Thank you so much for that. It's not the time.
Like, unless you're in Miami.
Especially for homegrown tomatoes, which I wouldn't make a tomato sandwich out of a store-bought tomato ever.
Mm-mm. It's not the same food. Like, I don't want to be one of those people who says, well, you know, if you don't like this thing, it's just because you're not eating it right. Like, I hate those people, but I truly believe that store-bought tomatoes and homegrown heirloom tomatoes are different foods.
Yeah, they're different food. It's different food. They taste different. I talked to Spencer, and Spencer mentioned that he's like, I didn't see him put pepper on it. And literally Miller Yoho, who worked for the Belk Bowl, now the Duke's Mayo Bowl, was like, no, there's definitely pepper on that. You can see it here in this frame, just to clear it up because we are authentic.
This does give us time in the next month between now and actual tomato season to argue incessantly over the proper construction of the tomato sandwich.
Well, let's go. What do you think is the proper construction of a tomato sandwich?
I will tell you that I don't necessarily adhere to the white bread. I am sorry to both of my dead grandmothers for that. I think white bread is fine, but I like a bread that's a little more substantial that can stand up to the juices of the tomato because I don't like to drain my tomatoes too much.
So yeah, I like to salt my tomatoes so that the juice comes out, and then we still get that moist tomato on there. And I also don't love mayonnaise, so I'm a very thin coat of mayonnaise guy.
Yep, I'm a scraping of mayonnaise. Like, every part of the bread must have mayonnaise on it, but then I scrape the flat side of the knife across it. Like, I don't like globs of mayo. Like, I like a very thin coating of mayo on both sides.
Cerber, Hartzell, come on.
I can't contribute. I don't eat mayonnaise and I don't eat tomatoes. So look, judge me all you want, but I've never had a tomato sandwich. I've had tomato pie before. That's not bad. But
that contains copious quantities of both tomato and mayonnaise,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, I like things made with mayonnaise, but mayonnaise on its own, a packet or a jar, gives me, like, the chills. It's disgusting.
Serber.
Yeah, no, I don't like mayonnaise. I'm mustard on my sandwich guy. With a tomato sandwich, I don't use any condiment whatsoever. Just tomato on Merita Old Fashioned with salt and pepper.
Oh, that's valid. I can
live with that. I mean, Merita Old Fashioned. I mean, this is, listen, we've talked about it a lot. We're clearly a North Carolina podcast, and Merita Old Fashioned is right there in our pocket. So, Holly, let's get into this. We're going to talk about kind of the big issue of the episode, where we talk about, and my wife, Kristen, who you've met, she got on to me because I called them pests. I said, good pests. She goes, pests can't be good. They're inherently bad. So I don't know what to call the good animals, the beneficial animals that we have in our garden. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. Let's start, though, with, from a college football standpoint, let's start with, how do you think things are progressing? How do you see things happening? And by the way, Tennessee's having one of their best recruiting classes that they've ever had.
I quit that poison a few years ago. to quote our friend Bomani in the Atlanta Hawks, I no longer watch Tennessee football games live because I need to live. And this team.
But we had Jason Swain on.
I love Jason. Hey, if Jason Swain's team was still playing football games, then I would watch. I would be happy. I would be happy to see him back out there. Does he have eligibility left? Can I tell you something real weird?
Yes, like, please. We're here to get weird.
You, I'm sure, reacted as I did when Jeremy Pruitt said he didn't know what asparagus was. I'm not sure Jeremy Pruitt can read. I'm not sure Phil Fulmer can read. I don't know who's running things in Knoxville right now. I have been astonished by how not horrified I have been with how my alma mater is handling this whole pandemic thing. They are being weirdly sensible, and it almost makes me suspicious. Like, who are you? Who are you really? Like, would you, if you had been making a list at the very beginning of this of who was going to respond in a reasonable and patient fashion, would you have put Jeremy Pruitt and Phil Fulmer at the top of that list?
No, not even close. No.
Like,
they would have been on the other list of
things. Yeah.
Teams I think are going to handle this bad. It'd been like them and Texas A&M and obviously Mike Gundy, who we're going to talk about.
God, that guy. I'll give you a piece of gossip on Gundy later on, but I have been pleasantly surprised with the lack of unpleasant surprises coming out of Tennessee. I try not to get worked up as a general rule about Tennessee recruiting classes. If you have watched Tennessee football for the past 10 years, you know why. I will get excited when they see the field, whenever that will be. Like, I try not to get excited about recruiting classes because this is the SEC. How many of those are going to show up? How many of those are going to qualify? Who's going to get thrown off for, you know, drunken boating incidents between now and September? No disrespect to drunken boating. But I try not to get too worked up until I actually see them in a jersey.
Holly, you kind of touched on it, but just in general, like, how do you feel about what may or may not be coming Labor Day weekend, or I guess before that, with Week Zero? I mean, what are your thoughts on college football as we're all used to seeing it out there on the field?
Well, I'm kind of in the same boat you guys are, which is that I don't really know how personally I'm supposed to be feeling right now. I would like to have a job. In September, I have a career that's entirely reliant upon this sport existing. And then on the other side, I don't want the people playing that sport to die choking on pink foam in their lungs.
Yep.
So yeah. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be rooting for right now. Like, I would like to have a job. I would like for these kids to have athletic careers, but I am stuck way back where I was in March on the needle of, if it's not safe for you know, biology majors to be on mm-hmm. campus. Why is it safe for football players to be on campus? Especially when the people that they're saying it's going to be safe to be on campus consists of their unpaid labor force.
Right. Yeah. No,
I don't love it. I'm not ever going to be comfortable with that.
Yeah. And I think it's good to be honest about not being comfortable with it, because we live in this kind of duality. And I think the interesting part for me and Eli, listen, Eli Apple's mom, you can say what you want about her and her, you know, being in the media and using her platform, but she said something that I thought was it was incredibly specific, and it was a direct shot kind of across the bow. And it was, if it's safe to be at school, why don't the coaches bring their kids there? And yeah. That's kind of where I'm at as well, where, oh, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, but it's safe for these kids. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how that takes place. We had Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic on a week ago, and she was just talking about kids are going to test positive. And guess what? They are everywhere, all over the place. And you can't.
Kids are going to test positive, and especially with what we're learning about asymptomatic asymptomatic transfer of the disease, you know, you can't just do what some schools are doing and only test the kids who show symptoms. Like I'm back and forth on it every day. And it's, you know, mm-hmm. I want football to exist. I love football. You know, this is not just a job. This is a lifestyle for me. You know, I was born and raised in Tennessee. I live in Georgia now. You know, it's part of all the other things I want about normal life, but I can't want that to come back at the cost of these kids' safety, the safety of their families, or, you know, my own career.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And that's the part and listen, it's not woe is us. Like the kids are the ones that are at risk. So that's the reality.
Exactly. Like I am fortunate enough right now. I mean, what time is it? It's Thursday right now. I still have a job at this moment because I work in digital media. I don't know how much longer that's going to be the case.
Ooh, thank you for saying digital media. I don't know if you listened to our most recent episode, but I did use that's what I use to tell people so they don't bother me anymore. Digital media content creation.
My thing that you may have noticed on Twitter is that I am just posting pictures of my plants with the caption "Business Solutions for a Digital Age."
Yes, I know.
And birds, Holly. And birds.
That is the sum of what I think of our industry right now. You know, it's very file not found.
Yeah. So, well, let's hear this rough transition, but I think we all know how we all feel the same way when it comes to these kids, whether it's having to sign a waiver, go back to school, get ready to play, because
don't get me started on the waivers, man. Like that is the one area where Tennessee fell in line with everybody else. And I'm like, the only winner here is billable hours. And that's not good.
I was going to say make goods, but billable hours works too, where you think about it, you lose the NCAA tournament, you lose the College World Series. You lose, and there's going to be less people in the stadium. So if you thought your ad was going to go to 100,000 people or 80,000 people, now it goes to 20,000 people, you feel like you didn't get your money's worth. And so make goods is the word that I've been using mostly for what's happening. But yeah, you're spot on. But no, we're going to go, you're posting birds, Audubon. Society birds.
Extremely angry bird. I should have called it angry birds. Do you think that's a thing that people would recognize?
You would get sued immediately and they would be so upset. But we're going to do it out of order. Let's get into good things to have on your property. Birds actually being one of them, because they eat these caterpillars and they eat some of these other things that are killing plants. So let's go through some of the things that you love to have on your property, in your area, that you want, because that's what we're kind of talking about this episode.
So I actually put birds way up there with squirrels in terms of pests, because birds love my tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. And they eat half of it and then leave it on the ground.
And yes. And disgusting. The grandma comes out of me, right? I'm like, y'all wasteful. You couldn't even finish this cherry tomato. what is wrong with you?
Yep.
But I have a bird feeder in the front of my house because I have cats that like to sit in that window.
Ah, it's for the cats.
So it's a cat TV situation, right?
I
have a bird feeder in the front to keep the cats entertained. But my backyard is, I think, uniquely protected from, now it's the words in my head, from pests because of a couple different things. I have privacy fence on three sides of my yard. The only way in or out of my backyard is through the driveway. So there's not a deer. There's not a deer situation in my backyard at all. So that takes away, that takes away one huge pest that I grew up with in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But I have three elements in my backyard that kind of keep everything in check. There are snakes living under my deck. I am almost positive. I've only ever seen one. It was a baby copperhead. So my father promptly murdered it with a shovel. Mm-hmm.
The most dangerous of copperheads.
But there is, well, of course, my nephew was running towards it going, ooh, look. And baby snakes, as we know, are the most dangerous because you can't control their venom. So there's definitely a snake friendly environment under the deck. I haven't explored that much more. I'd like to think it keeps the rodents at bay. So like I haven't tried to eliminate the snakes.
Good.
I have an enormous tulip poplar in my neighbor's yard that leans over the fence and it is full of owls. It is an owl block party every night in my yard. There is, and I want to know if you guys ever have these. I had not encountered this particular owl until I moved to Georgia. I don't know what it is, but there are different kinds of owls in this tree, right? You can tell by the different sounds they're making. There are owls that sound like birds. And then there is this one owl that sounds like a person just going hoot, 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 hoot. Like it sounds like there's somebody standing at the base of the tree just hollering at these owls. And it freaks me out every time. It sounds like a cartoon of a person trying to be an owl.
I think that's a barred owl. I mean, our barred owls have a pretty distinct call, and they're all over the forest where we live.
I think it's
okay. That makes
owl.
Me feel so much better because every time I hear this owl, I think there's a street fight happening in front of my yard, but it's just this bird going hoot, hoot.
No, barred owls are more. It's like a cadence. It's a hoot, hoot, hoo, hoo. I mean, it's like a classic.
Yes.
That's a barred
yes.
owl. That's it. Yeah.
Like it sounds like a horror movie owl. So these guys, I think, keep the smaller birds and the squirrels in check in my yard. And then I augment all of that because I have several neighborhood cats that hang out in my backyard. I live in Atlanta, which is probably, the pit bull capital of America. I love pit bulls. Most cats do not, but I've got that three-sided fence on the yard. So a lot of cats hang out in my yard.
Time out. I literally just looked up a barred owl. You're right. Hartzell with the points.
All right.
Doesn't happen often. We've got lots of them here.
Owl scoreboard.
Yeah. Heartbeats rejoice.
They're really pretty birds. Rejoice. I mean, if you get them in the binoculars, like if you get a chance to scope them out, they're good looking owls, right?
I mean, I thought you were saying
I haven't actually laid eyes on any of them. I can just hear them.
Yeah,
I thought he was saying barn owl wrong.
Oh no, barn owl is a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real thing. I thought he was saying barn owl wrong.
That happens
barred because it's got stripes on it, right?
Yeah, B-A-R-R-E-D.
Yeah.
There you go, barred.
B-A-R-R-E-D. So
like
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
An owl that has been thrown out of the bar for being too rowdy.
You were barred from here.
They attack too, though, don't they? Like, that's like one of the only owls that will go after like a person. They'll like try
to mess
first
of all, not one of the only owls. Many owls will attack a person.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
You go ahead and Google jogger owl, like for people that jog early in the morning, and there's just a million stories of owls.
Oh, this
just
is my favorite YouTube search
people.
Is funny owl attacks.
So funny.
Can we get back to the pit bulls and the cats? Because
yes.
I want to know where this goes.
As a pit bull owner, Hartzell.
I live in Atlanta, high pit bull concentration. There are many pit bulls on my street. I love them. The cats of the neighborhood do not obviously love the pit bulls, but I've got that privacy fence on three sides. So a lot of the neighborhood cats tend to like congregate in my backyard. And I, at one point last year, I put up a little, it looks like it's a dog house. I put a little house out there for them, like with some food and water. I want to encourage this because I want the cats to keep the squirrel population down. keep killing the squirrels. They kill. Yes. There are so many dead squirrels in my backyard. I mean, they don't stay there for long because I, you know, I dispose of them. But every scoopful of kibble I put back there in that little feral cat house that I have set up, you know, I think of it like a war bond for Captain America, right? I feed the cats so the cats can fight the true enemy, the squirrel.
I absolutely love this. This is so good. What about insects, though?
Have not had a real amount of bad luck with insects in the backyard. I haven't had leaf blighters or aphids or anything, at least in the past couple years. I have a pretty, hefty
the good
ant problem.
You have, okay, so what are the insects that you, like, if you could get.
Oh, sorry, yeah, let me back up. I am pro-bee and pro-spider.
Pro-bee, pro-spider, insects is the wrong word. I guess arthropods is probably the word that I should be using. Please don't correct me on Twitter.
Yeah,
but I love a spider, I love a bee, and I, if I had stayed in Charlotte, I was going to buy 500 praying mantises or manti.
Oh, yes, yes. I love a good praying mantis. I love a ladybug. I'm in a part of the South that has a ton of ladybugs. I don't really have to buy my own. They're kind of everywhere. But yeah, I've got a couple of pretty sizable garden spiders, like the real scary looking ones.
Yes.
That hang out. And every, when one of them gets big enough, I will give him a name.
Yes. Black and yellow.
Thanks, Wiz. Mm-hmm. Very good.
You know what it is.
They're the best. I love them. Like the little orb weavers. Those guys are the best, Holly. Mm-hmm.
They're absolute. Like even as a pro spider person, when I see one, I kind of get a shiver because they look evil. Like they look like predators. There's a part of my lizard brain that just, you know, goes do not touch. But you know, they're doing great work. I don't like chemical solutions to any of my insect problems. I, as you've seen with the cats, I prefer to fight my problems with bigger animals.
Yeah, no, I love that. The other thing, if you look, those are all female. Mm-hmm. If you look in the web, there's a little brown guy up in the top. That's
no
their
kidding.
Mate. Yeah. Huh.
There's hope for short guys in the animal kingdom.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for dunking on short guys. And as a short guy, like, yeah, look at y'all. That includes me.
You're not short.
What qualifies as short, Holly? I mean, like, what's the cutoff?
I'm 5'8", so I have kind of like a, you know, I have kind of a ceiling to where I'm taller than most girls. So, you know, in my dating years, this was a problem because, you know, I went to an SEC school. I like a high-heeled boot. But Felder, I have never thought you to be particularly short.
Well, you know I lie about my height, right?
Oh, yeah, you're a dude on the internet. Of course you lie about your height. That's like part of the deal.
But I lie about it the other way.
Really?
Yeah. I say that I'm 5'10", so that all the guys that say they're 5'10" when they're 5'8", then they're like, no, you got to be 6 feet. And guess what? I am. I'm 5'11 and change.
That is such a power move.
Yeah. Because I want
that displays like real confidence of personal brand.
Yeah. And I'm guess what?
Okay. Because like, I didn't think of you as short because you're definitely taller than me. Like, I think of being shorter than me as short because I'm tall for a girl.
Right. And then you've met my wife. She is almost 6'1".
My brother did the same thing. Like my brother is barely taller than me, and he went and married this like 6'2" Amazon, and yeah, you know that works for him.
Guess what? Their kid's probably going to be huge.
My niece is going to play volleyball at the very least. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a daughter that's tracking to be 6'6", so.
And she's already. You might have a rugby player on your hands. I've seen your daughter on the gram.
Hashtag let's grow.
Very nice.
You've got a bruiser there.
She is. She's a bruiser. Except she hates dirt. So I don't know how we're going to get over that thing. Holly, wanted to do the update. You did the update when you talked about you got the troughs. You were waiting to get the dirt for the troughs. Let's talk about the troughs. Let's talk about what they look like because they look beautiful. And I want to get into this medicinal garden because it's a thing I don't know about and I want to learn about it, but let's talk troughs, then let's talk garden.
Let's talk troughs. This, I would, before you ask me my biggest win of the season, just this setup alone, getting this setup into my yard, I would have to call this my biggest win because, I mean, I'm not a dad, but I like to feel that I have some dad-like qualities. Like, I am not above the getting three-quarters. You know what it's like to get three-quarters of the way through a home project and then just kind of slap the rest of it together and be like, yeah, it's fine.
Oh, you mean like the fire pit?
I didn't ask about the fire pit.
It's unbelievable.
But yeah, I know the strays coming left and right. But how often do you start a project and you finish a project and you manage to get exactly what you wanted within your budget and it turned out exactly the way you wanted it to? I don't think this has ever happened to me before with any project.
Not that often. Not that often at all.
And so like, that's like, I would call that in itself, the fact that it exists is my biggest win because I didn't end up having to cut any corners, you know, for budget. I found everything I wanted within the price range that I could afford, you know, no disasters happened getting it all into place. And I think I ended up putting my last seedlings in, just about 3 days ago. So I'm just looking out the window makes me happy right now.
Good. Good. That's fantastic. So let's get into it. Like, what do you got out there? We always talk tomatoes, but let's start with this. You mentioned the tea in the medicinal garden.
So I ended up doing a little bit of an improv on that because I have a tendency to, I go plant shopping the way like some people go sneaker shopping. Like if I see it, I want it and I'll worry about where to put it later.
Don't get into sneaker shopping. Hartzell sent me a video this week that was, he was like, I think I have a problem. It was just a bunch of boxes. It was like 45 boxes of sneakers.
It's 48. It's 48. Yeah. It's bad, see, dude.
I'm glad you stopped me there because I was thinking about the way like women I know go sneaker shopping. But of course, like sneakers is a cross gender concern.
Holly, if you see a plant and you don't pull the trigger, like it haunts you, right? Like,
I was coming back from a doctor's appointment yesterday and I was driving by Home Depot and I had been looking for pineapple sage like for a month. And for some reason I couldn't find pineapple sage. I really wanted it for this one corner of my garden. And I was like, well, you know, I'll take a chance. And I pulled into this Home Depot that is not my Home Depot. And they had pineapple sage and I was like, oh, great. And then I turned around and I was like, ooh, and I left with 8 plants, 7 of which were not pineapple sage. So yeah, it's a problem. Is it a problem though? Because like there are more expensive habits that I could have. Like I could collect video games this way or something, but I don't.
You could be addicted to cooking equipment like I am, where we just spent $300 on a new food processor. Like,
ooh.
What you're doing is no big deal. By the way, I will say this, Cuisinart, the new food processors they have are all...
No, don't start me down this path because my old model works just fine and you are going to get me to buy the new one.
Is your old model the one that has like the gussets that snaps in?
Yes, and I know the newer one is supposed to be so much easier to clean, but the one I have works fine.
Everything twists in and so you can clean it completely and not have to use the little brush to get in there. And it's amazing.
Such a problem. I have a tiny, terrible galley kitchen in my house right now. And I can't really exercise. Like I am prevented spatially from exercising all my kitchen equipment wishes. But I'm making up for it in the backyard where I have plenty of space and absolutely no self-control.
Like, okay, so we're veering off path now, but on your kitchen counters, what do you have? I will start first while you think about it. We have a Ninja blender. Mm-hmm. We have a KitchenAid stand mixer, obviously, that has like the meat grinder attachment and all that stuff. We also have, and then we have a Cuisinart food processor that, again, the new one, that's all snap in. And then we keep all of our cast iron out on top of the stove because I don't want to put it into the cabinets and get dust. Mm-hmm.
I have the opposite kind of gadget philosophy from you. I don't love a one-use gadget. That's mostly because I've only ever had teeny tiny kitchens.
Sure.
I do have a couple.
You're successful in your career, and so you live in places that are like, you know, super metropolitan.
I know. If I had a cabin by the lake spread, there would be gadgets everywhere. But I have the KitchenAid. My mother gave me my KitchenAid when I turned 25 and had not yet gotten married, and she was like, "Well, time to give up. Here's your mixer." I moved to California after college, right? And I did not have a fiance, so right. It's time to give up on this one. Let's go ahead and give her her KitchenAid. Sorry, Mom. And I will speak for a couple of gadgets that I think are crucial to my way of life. I have the 12-cup Cuisinart, but I also have the mini chopper food processor just for like when I'm making chimichurri. It's a lot easier to clean. And if you're not making a vat of soup or something, I'll usually just pull that out.
You know, if you go up to the 13 or 14 cup, they have a small insert.
God damn it, Felder, don't tell me this stuff. You just made me cuss on the radio.
They have a small insert that's like a small cup that you just don't have to clean the whole thing. You just clean the one cup out.
Don't tell me this stuff, man. You're going to make me spend money.
That's the reality.
Leading me down this temptation path. The other gadget that takes up most of my very limited counter space that I cannot live without is I have a countertop toaster oven, convection oven, because my actual oven is enormous. My kitchen is tiny and does not have an air conditioning vent in the kitchen. I live in Georgia. So like 9 months out of the year, I am doing all of my oven cooking in this toaster oven just to keep my house below 80.
Yeah.
Oh, like I will ride for that forever. Even for people who don't think they need gadgets. Like if I had to, I could probably pull my stove out and just live on what I can make in this like countertop convection oven, because it generates such a smaller amount of heat. I really don't think I could live in Georgia without this item.
We had chicken salad for dinner on Tuesday because we couldn't use the stove because our AC wasn't working. So
it's so hot. Dude, that's another, I had an accidental miracle this year. I had my air conditioning break the week before Memorial Day. So I got to jump the massive Atlanta air conditioning repair line that happens when everybody's air conditioning breaks on Memorial Day. So like the Friday before that holiday weekend, I got in under the wire and got the repair guy here.
Clutch. Hey, Holly, we had you on way back in early March, pre-COVID. And
yes, 14 episodes ago.
It's actually the only show we've done where Cerber and I were in studio. We've been doing it all remotely since then. But I wanted to ask you, one of the things that's come from the last couple episodes has been gardening fails.
Oh, yes.
You got a good one for us?
I have a fail that's kind of a mystery. And it is connected to what I told you guys in my first episode. I'm so glad you brought this up. So last year I had the tomato lap, right? I famously had 62 tomato plants in my yard. And what I did this year to pare that down was I took the two kinds of tomatoes that I was growing last year that did the best out of the tomato lab. And I bought multiple plants of those. And then I added two new brands that I had never tried before. So these two tomatoes that I had last year, the Atkinson tomato, which is developed at Auburn, actually, go SEC, and the Arkansas Traveler, which is a pink tomato from Arkansas, grew like gangbusters last year in my yard. Not one of my Arkansas Traveler tomato seedlings will grow more than 3 inches this year. Uh-oh. And only two of my Atkinson seedlings have sprouted above like an inch.
But they did well a year ago?
Yeah. Yeah. These are my two all-stars from last year. Got the seeds from the same place and cannot get either kind of these plants to grow. Meanwhile, the two new breeds that I brought in, a Brandywine tomato, which is a big beefsteak tomato.
Yeah, it's a beefsteak. I know those guys.
Yeah, it's Brandywine Sudduth is the strain. It's from Southern Exposure. And Sugar Cherry tomatoes. And those are both growing just fine. But my two all-stars from last year, I don't even know if they're ever going to get big enough to grow flowers. And I have no idea why. They're planted in the exact same spot as last year. Same amount of sunshine, and you know the weather hasn't appreciably changed, but I cannot get them to even reach like tomato adolescence, and I cannot figure out why.
So what you're saying is you got a Brady Anderson on your hands.
Yes. Yes, the lineage is beautiful. What happened?
Yeah, and listen, and I
got a Jimmy Clausen on my hands. Let's go, Carolina.
There we go. I was thinking Brady Anderson because it's like he did steroids 1 year and like looked awesome, and then guess what? Oh no, I'm not that good.
Well, if it was just one or the other, it would make more sense, right? Because you know these heirloom tomatoes, you can never tell, you can never quite tell, as opposed to factory tomatoes, you know, what's going to pop off and what's not. Mm-hmm. But to have both of my best performing breeds from last year just completely flop this year, I'm completely baffled.
I don't know. Maybe you got a pH issue, or maybe like the different soil. And
I don't know, because I used the same kind of potting soils last year. Now they are in the tanks. Last year they were in the ground. So like, is it possible that these two? Is it possible that these two tomatoes were thriving on my nasty fill dirt last year and won't grow in organic potting soil this year?
They're like, listen, we need the chemicals. We hate this stuff.
Yeah, give me that broken glass. Let me chew on that broken glass with my tomato roots.
We really love the knives.
Yeah, they need the knives to grow.
I have stabby tomatoes that refuse to grow. So yeah, that's my major fail so far, is of all the things in my yard that I have planted that are new this year, my most reliable tomatoes from last year are a complete disaster.
All right, we're going to ask plant sex. Have you done it?
Plant sex? No, never have. I have tried. I have watched my grandmother do it with, I think, cantaloupe. Sorry. I'm just making this worse. I have watched my grandmother do this with cantaloupe vines, and I have attempted to coach a friend of mine through it via Skype, who's trying to grow tomatoes on her balcony in California. So like, there's not a lot of bees. Like, she's in the middle of Glendale. There's not a lot of there's not a lot of pollinating insects about. But no, I have never actually done this myself.
So we had to get that one in there. And then the last thing is, do you have worms?
I have not actually considered whether to introduce worms into the troughs yet. That may be something that I try next to kind of jumpstart these tomatoes. No, I have not. I have not as yet added any other living things to the above ground tanks, and I'm kind of waiting to see how they do without.
You got to get worms.
I know. I have heard that everyone who has worms is very happy with them, but I'm with Hartzell on this one. I got worms in the ground.
Yeah, but
I got worms.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is something my mom's dad used to say to us when we were little and weren't acting right. He would kind of stare over his glasses and drop his voice a couple of octaves and look at my brother and go, "That boy needs to be wormed."
Oh my goodness. Holly, this has been so fantastic. Give folks the social and how they can follow you and find you and find your work and figure out and find what you're doing. Cause this has been, I mean, this, we were supposed to only do, you know, the 15-20, and we went obviously longer than that.
It happens. I'm sorry. I know this is not how you like to play games. I hope that the eventual Duke Bowl is a clean 3 hours and 15 minutes in your honor. You can follow me on Twitter if I haven't blocked you, at Holly Anderson. You cannot follow me on Instagram because that shit is private. I think everybody needs one private and one public social media channel, just because whoever tells you that they're not living two internet lives is a liar. You can find me at work, depending on whether I still have that job at the end of this week, at bannersociety.com. And maybe one of these days, you will find me on a college football podcast again, but, who's to say what the future holds?
Holly's fantastic. We love having Holly on. Like, literally, when she got off the interview, she sent me an email. She sent me an email that said, "Thank you so much for having me back on." And I just want to say thank you to her, because she's amazing.
Yeah, that was cool. And anytime we get to talk Atlanta, you know, I mean, sign me up, right? I mean, let's be real, right? A-Town down.
Right now, A-Town's not down. A-Town is up, because they are kicking North Carolina's ass. when it comes to our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a North Carolina pod, right? Piedmont focused. But hey, look, man, we appreciate all of our listeners. I actually, Cerber and I were talking earlier in the week. Props to you. I mean, this is your show. This is your baby, right? You invented this. Yeah, but you invented this. You invented this.
I came up with an idea, and I couldn't think of. And listen, the two people I wanted to do it with are you. So.
Well, that's very sweet. What I was going to say is that you give love to our listeners, whether it's like emails that they've sent in or reviews, and little by little, you know, almost like a gardener spreading some seeds around. It literally is growing, right? Because these people are coming back and they want to hear their emails read. And anyway, I think it's the right way to go about it. I tip my cap to you, sir. So that's my point.
We're having a good time. And speaking of listeners, we're gonna hit up Sarah because she hashtagged more cussing, less azalea talk. And two shows in a row, we didn't talk about azalea. So that really thrilled her. So got to give her some props. Also going to hit up, or not even hit up. I just remembered that I'm in a chat with a bunch of people that worked at Pantana Bob's, which is one of the jobs that I listed.
I'm sorry. What is Pantana Bob's?
Pantana Bob's is a bar in Chapel Hill, and I think there's one at ECU.
They serve food, or is it just a bar?
Serves food. Mostly
like
a bar.
Tchotchkes.
Oh, man.
What was your, Felder, what were you, a bartender or a server or what?
Door guy.
Oh, you were security.
Door guy / bouncer.
Did you have an earpiece?
No earpiece. Are you kidding me? The best thing that we ever had was we used to sneak and make chicken tenders. We used to steal chicken tenders.
From the kitchen.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Throw them in the fryer. We had a guy, Andy G. I'm not going to say his last name, but Andy G., ended up playing baseball at Florida after he played baseball at UNC. You could probably find him based on those things. But he was like, I like my chicken tenders medium rare. And I was like, that's not how chicken works.
That's how you die. Yes.
Oh, shit.
And he would just like half cook his chicken tenders. They'd be cold inside.
Yeah.
No.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Ugh.
Yeah. But anyways. Whole point with Pantana Bob's is we used to have to clean the restaurant, the bar, after everyone left. So you're there until 3 o'clock in the morning cleaning. I used to have to, there were times I had to put, you know, those big black construction trash bags.
Yeah.
I had to put one up my arm and then just like go into the toilet and like grab like wads of tampons out. So maybe that was my worst job. Versus when I said True Green was my worst job.
Dude, that sounds terrible. By the way, did you ever remember the chain restaurant Miami Subs? Do you remember that? They had one in downtown Chapel Hill. That's why I bring it up.
You mean Diarrhea City?
Dude, I used to wear out Miami Subs back in the day.
Wait, are
back...
you kidding me?
Yes. No, I'm not kidding you. It was so
Miami
good.
Miami Subs? You went to Miami Subs a lot?
They had the best cheese fries in the game.
That place is awful.
Yeah, I know. That's why they're gone. They're dead. They're dusted. Yeah.
I remember this place from when I was a kid in Columbia, South Carolina. It was freaking disgusting. It was the worst.
Nah, I think I went to some good ones, man. I think you guys were going to the wrong ones. Yeah.
There was a Miami Subs in Fayetteville on, I believe, Yadkin Road. And then I got to college and there's a Miami Subs obviously on Franklin Street.
Yeah.
And Miami Subs, like that's a are you kidding me?
Look, those that know. Okay, Miami Subs had a good little run there for a little while. That's all I'm saying. Shout out to Miami Subs.
Was the run good, or did you have good runs?
Got him.
Very good. Very good.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? They were one of the first places that had like toasted subs, though.
So, I mean, that menu was like Cheesecake Factory before Cheesecake Factory. It had it all.
It had everything. They were like, do you want mozzarella sticks and also a hero?
Yeah, the hero platter. I used to wear that out, man. Side of cheese fries.
That's insane. By the way, also got to say shout out to TC McG, Tom McG. Listen, we got a battle now between the Korean hand plow and the hori hori.
I mean, what's the battle specifically? They both get it done.
Two hand tools. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, what's the official hand tool of Hand in the Dirt?
I don't think we align ourselves with one or the other. I mean, we're a pretty inclusive group. Right. I'll say this.
You know what? Get both and put them in your belt.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking at the Hori Hori. It's a fancy knife, all right? Let's be honest. I think you can do more with the Korean hand plow.
Okay, there we go. Let's see what else we got. We got Cisse, who I used to work with at. She used to work for us at work with me at Stadium. She's been an urban gardener. She's really enjoying the podcast now. And I guess I'm just going to get into this because I need Hartzell's advice. She has my daughter's been grabbing her crotch a lot. And then literally right before we started the show, she's grabbing her crotch. And then I do, you know, like how you just kind of adjust yourself in your own pants
all day.
Yeah. She's doing it because I do it.
So hang on. Is she doing it? She's doing it like above her clothes, right? Not beneath.
Yeah, she's not going inside the clothes.
She's just modeling, man. That's all she sees.
Right. She's mimicking what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be worried. I think it's pretty awesome, actually. I mean, look, it's amazing. Like, your daughter is two, right? And so they are literally copying everything their parents do.
Dude, today she said, hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I told hell you, yeah. my son started, you know, quoting back the World Series of Dice Skit. Yeah. Get buck naked, son. Watch it, Cool Breeze. I mean, it's an amazing thing, but you have to kind of like step back, like we're first time parents, and be like, this is almost too much power.
Did you say we're first time parents?
Yeah, like we're still young parents, right? Like, learning.
Like our second. This isn't our second family.
Yes.
This is not the replacement family.
I told you, man. These afternoon tapings have got me feeling some type of way. But look, like, I'm still learning things. My son's almost four, and it's like I need to really chill out with what I say when I'm driving, right? I need to be careful with what songs I'm playing on Alexa. Like, it's bad, you know.
I listen to podcasts almost exclusively.
I've heard your podcast. They're vulgar. Yes.
They're a little ribald, is what I would say. Vulgar is a little far. Ribald. Ribald. Ribald.
Ratchet.
No, ribald. And, okay. But she doesn't listen. It's not the content of the podcast. She just knows the theme songs. So she will literally go, Action boys.
Is wifey worried about the crotch grabs? Is she like, you need to stop or what?
She was worried because she thought it was like a, she literally was like, do you think there's something wrong with her like privates? And I was like, I don't think there's, I mean, we looked at them. They look fine. And she was like, I don't know what's going on. And then literally we connected eyes today when I did a thing and then Savannah did it. And she was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with her privates. The problem is you.
Yeah. That's also probably with a product of COVID, right? Because you're at home all day.
Yeah.
And so like when I go to work, you know, I'm wearing, you know, adult clothing. I'm not hanging out with my hand on my waistband. I'm at home.
I wear adult clothing every day.
Yeah, I'm wearing J. Crew sweatpants right now, and I have been for about four straight days. Not the same pair, but dude, it's look. I mean, we're getting new closets in our master bedroom. There's the hummingbird. Yeah. There it goes again. She's a beauty. It could be a he, I guess. Anyway, wow, I'll try to snap a picture.
The hummingbird is your Xena.
There's not a better time in one's life to get new closets right now because you have to pull all the clothes out of your closet. And guess what, folks? I don't need adult clothes right now because I ain't going anywhere.
So what are you doing from a closet standpoint? Are you doing a closet system?
Yeah.
Nice. My little brother did Savannah's closet system.
He's a carpenter. He's got woodworking skills or?
big skills. He did the entire pantry at their house.
Dude, that's amazing. Yeah, I don't have those types of skills.
With drawers that open and close.
Yeah, I had to pay somebody. But I had to empty out this closet. And as a result, I've got piles and piles of clothes and shoes. And I'm just living off of...
Yeah, we talked about it on the interview with Holly. Like sweatpants. The shoes.
Bro. Do you know about these space hippies that are dropping in 2 weeks? Have you checked these out?
No.
They're They're Nike shoes. They're called the Space Hippie. There's four shoes that they're making.
Which one? So they're all coming out at the same time?
They're made from trash. Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad even telling people about this because now I'm going to have to fight all you guys on sneakers. But they're dropping in July, and I want them. I want them all.
Okay, I'm looking.
This is like
not going to do it for you, Felder. I know what kind of sneaker you like. I don't think they're going to move the needle for you.
This is like Derelict and Zoolander.
Derelict.
I don't think this is real. this is all a ploy for to assassinate the Malaysian Prime Minister.
They're Nike shoes made from garbage.
I mean, these look like they look like trash.
These look like those last LeBrons.
Yeah, that were garbage.
Hey, one less person to have to fight on the app in July. I'm fine with that.
Good. Yes, you don't have to worry about me going for these.
I've got too many sneakers. The good news is, though, they continue to appreciate in value. So it's not the worst decision I've ever made.
Good. I like it. I'm in. Getting back to gardening, I set a shout out to Cisse. Set a shout out to Tom McGee. I'm going through my whole thing. Christina Tosi, I did not know she went to JMU.
Me either, but she did. So go Dukes.
So, and then let's go. First of all, we do need to talk about pests, or not pests. They're unpests. We got off track completely. If we have to go through and name our top four positive animals to have on the property, not including dogs, not including cats, what are you going with?
All right, I haven't had a chance to rank them. Frogs, turtles, bats, and I think I don't want to put all amphibians in there. Like, I like lizards too.
Let's talk about bats. You already said frogs. That's an amphibian. And frogs and lizards are reptiles. Those are different things. But can we talk about bats?
Yeah.
I love them.
You ever had them?
Yeah. We got a bat house in our backyard in Charlotte.
Okay. So I live in the woods, as you guys know. We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor, I was talking to them randomly. They just casually mentioned that they have a bat house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really don't want to embarrass myself by asking this person, like, how this is. Like, what is a bat house? Where is it? Is it in your garage? Is it in the woods? Felder, what the hell is a bat house, bro?
It's literally like a box. It looks like a birdhouse, but upside down.
Okay.
So if you take a, no, not even upside down. So if you take a birdhouse, right, and you know the birdhouse has the sides on a post and then it has that hole they go in.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Take the hole out, cut the bottom off, bats fly up into it.
So what, do you just stick it in the woods somewhere or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we literally, God, no bullshit. We were, when we first bought our house in 2015, I believe, we were outside doing the fire pit thing where we're trying to get rid of all the pine needles and burning up all the pine needles. And my wife and I are outside hanging out. We're listening to we could hear the Charlotte Catholic game from our house. So we're just listening to like what's happening in the game. You know, tackle by number 45. 29-27. Make sure you get your 50-50 raffle tickets from so-and-so. Like we're literally listening to the PA announcer. And then a bat landed on my forehead. And it was there for just a second, and then it just flew away. something that I did got, like, he was either chasing a bug or whatever, and it just, like, slapped on top of my forehead.
I would have shit myself. So. I mean, bats are disgusting animals. I understand they serve a purpose. Look, Felder, I understand they serve a purpose. They are nature's mosquito repellent, right?
Do you not sit on your porch and watch the bats work?
I see them right above the tree line, and at dusk they do their thing, and they are amazing. But up close, they are ugly. They are blind, right? Or they can't not see blind, very well.
The light messes them up pretty bad.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, they're ugly animals. That's all I'm saying, and they're gross.
So for me, if I'm ranking, I'm going praying mantis number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going bats number two. Snakes number three.
Ah, snakes. Good one.
And then I'm going, and I hate to do this because I want to put ladybugs or dragonflies on this list, but I am going birds.
Yeah, but that's a vague, I mean, like, not all birds are created equal here, right? Like, you don't want.
Yeah, but I mean,
you don't
I'm
want turkey vultures laying around your house.
Well, if turkey vultures are laying around my house, that means something else has been taken down, a big thing.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, the maneuverability of cardinals and robins and swallows to get to bugs that ordinarily would not be eaten if they didn't exist is amazing.
All right. Well, here you have praying mantis number one. Like, that's ranked number one for you?
Yeah, ranked number one.
All right, you mentioned this.
Oh, shit. No, you know what? Take birds off. Put spiders on.
Yeah, you love spiders. All right.
I love spiders.
I'm going to press you on praying mantis. You mentioned in the interview with Holly you were going to buy 500 praying mantis.
Mm-hmm.
What does something like that cost, and how do you acquire them?
I think you can get them on Amazon. Excuse me, I just burped, so cut that out.
How much does 500 praying mantis set me back on Amazon?
$45.
And they arrive alive?
They're in eggs and then they hatch.
Wow. What a time to be alive, seriously. You need 500 praying mantises? Mantis? It is mantis. It's got to be mantis.
No,
right?
It's not. I'm looking this up now. It is mantises.
Mantises.
All right, well, clean that up.
And then also mantis. Mantids?
Manti tail?
Oh.
Too easy.
Yeah. Let's not make fun of him anymore.
He's still in the league.
Why? What's wrong? Why can't we make fun of him?
Because he got catfish, bro.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yes. He got catfished by a dude.
On national television, no less.
By his cousin?
Look.
Or were they in cahoots?
I don't think they were. You're talking about Manti Te'o being in cahoots with his cousin, who was catfishing him.
Yeah.
Like, he catfished himself to get attention.
Yes. Yeah.
She kidnapped herself. Look. I don't know, Felder. You could be right. I don't know. I mean, that's Manti Te'o is not a compliment. If somebody pulls a Manti Te'o on you,
5,000 eggs for $25. Aphid exterminators.
That's too many. Like, now the mantises are going to be going after each other and, like, snapping off their claws and stuff.
No, because here's the problem. I'm glad I took birds off the list, because the birds are going to eat all of these young ones. Only a few will survive. It's like sea turtles. You know this about sea turtles.
Yeah,
right?
It breaks my heart every time I watch those videos. Yeah, I can't take it. Yep.
Like, yeah. Server, you know about this, right?
No.
Like, sea turtles lay like 50 eggs and then like 7 become adult sea turtles.
They lay more than 50.
They all die on their way to the beach, to the ocean. Yes,
right.
Yeah, because
the crabs and seagulls. Yeah,
yeah.
It's the same thing with these praying mantis eggs.
Okay, and they also say don't help them, like, because that they should they get you got to weed out the weak, right?
Yeah, but if they just get into the water, they'd do so much better.
I know. It's...
But like one of my best friends from high school, Sean, if you're listening, what up? Oh, by the way, let me write this down right now. Have you guys seen the Chet Hayes thing? Or Chet Hanks, excuse me?
That's Tom Hanks's disturbed son, correct?
Yeah, it's not a new thing, but like my wife had never seen it before, and I showed it to her, and she was like, what is he doing?
How would you describe him in terms of a personality?
He's not Jamaican.
He speaks with a certain patois, though, which is concerning.
It's like, what up, Tom Hanks? You know, my boy, brother, my dad should have won the Golden Globe. And I'm like, whoa, what is happening?
I rip and I rhyme. I rhyme and I rip.
This is the way that Dylan spits. Yeah, it's bad. But no, Jesus, now I forgot what I was going to say.
Your high school buddy.
He interned for a summer helping sea turtles get to the ocean and protecting sea turtle nesting sites. And he was like, there is a culture of people who love sea turtles so much that they get sea turtles tattoos.
Do you have any tattoos, Felder?
Yeah, I got a tattoo.
Cerber, do you have any tattoos?
I don't have any.
Do you?
No, I'm a blank canvas.
I got one.
What is it?
It says veritas.
Truth.
Yeah, truth in Latin. Because I thought I was the truth when I went to college, and I always tell the truth.
Is it shoulder blade to shoulder blade across the back, LeBron James style?
No, it's on my left bicep. Because that was my strongest muscle.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't know about sea turtle tattoos. I mean, I spend a lot of time at the beach. I don't see sea turtle tattoos. I see those god-awful stickers. But
which ones? Salt Life?
Oh, those are... That's a special breed.
Bro, are you Salt Life? Do you even Salt Life? Bro?
Yeah, do you Salt Life? Can I just say that for the first... Like, not until, like, 2 years ago did I realize it said Salt Life. Because it looks like Slut Life. Let me just say that. I just never saw it. Like, the sideways deer sticker, I never saw it until I saw it.
Browning?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to Rad Dad now. You got anything? Because you really flexed with the pool thing.
I mean, look, and of course, as soon as I did that, it hasn't stopped raining. Look, man, I'll be honest. Like, we're in month 4 of COVID life now, okay? 3 months at home in the books. We are embarking on month 4. Every day is Rad Dad life. I mean, let's be honest. Kid wants to run naked through the sprinkler at home? Go for it. You want to draw on the walls? Just make sure it's washable marker. Yeah, I mean, we're doing the chalk thing. We're hanging out outside. It's just, look, we're not going back to school. Not to turn it into a COVID show, but like preschool's back open. That's great. Have you seen the stats in North Carolina? We're not going. So we've just embraced it. Like, you're going to be at home for a while. And more than likely, I'm going to be here with you. So, no, nothing specifically stands out. How about you, other than teaching your daughter to, you know, grab her crotch all the time?
Grab her crotch and say, hell yeah. My daughter's like her own Stone Cold.
Your daughter can get you beer out of the fridge, right? You've trained her how to do that?
She can't get it out. She can put it in.
She can't open the fridge?
She can open the fridge. I just found out she can open doors. And my wife said, because I went to go take a shower and I didn't close the gate all the way to the stairs, she was like, yeah, I was looking for Savannah. And then I looked up and then she was at the top of the stairs. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's a game changer.
So, but no, mine, I would say I got two. One, very short, when I was writing up the stuff for the show, and I said, Savannah, has Dad been a rad dad this week? Does he have any rad dad moments? And she goes, no.
What a monster.
I was like, okay. Roasted. I was like, thanks. Okay, I haven't done anything right. And then the other one is not a rad dad moment for myself, but it is cool to watch this dad, a guy that lives across the complex from me, I've literally watched his kid learn how to ride a bike. And she went from a tricycle to a balance bike to a bike, and she's riding a bike better than her older brother. Do you know about balance bikes?
I've seen them. They're like, yeah, I've seen them.
So they're pretty tight. Like, those things are dope as
hell. Yeah, I feel like it's an unnecessary step between a tricycle and a bicycle, but, you know, only because, I mean, when you and I were growing up, we did not have balance bikes. It was,
right, but
you think
you don't
you're ready?
Have to do a tricycle.
Right. You think you're ready? Okay. Bike. Training wheels are coming off and we're going to this hill. That's how that went. Yeah.
But if you don't do a tricycle, you just do the balance bike, then you, it's still, you know, the extra, it's still the same amount of steps. It's just this step I have to kind of pay attention to them because they really will mess themselves up.
Do you have a relationship with this neighbor who you've been watching from a distance?
My wife does. That sounds weird. My wife has a relationship with this neighbor. No, it's like I see them. I don't hit their kid with my car when I drive in.
Nice of you.
And I mean, it's just like a, like we say hi. I know the name of his two kids.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they just give us that so I have to buy one.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of having two boys. Like, everything I buy for the oldest is going to be the youngest in like 2 years. It's going to be great.
Yeah. We got a tricycle. I mean, excuse me. We got a bike with training wheels from our neighbors. We got one of those weird tunnels that kids crawl in.
Yeah, those are cool.
We got one of those from our neighbors. And so I feel pretty good about like just getting stuff from other people. So I don't have to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, being outside, just being active, which is not easy in the city. I understand that.
But this guy's in super shape because he just jogs around the middle of our complex with his kids all day.
Oh, like he's literally like on his feet chasing him around.
Yeah.
Cerber, does this excite you about the future or are you kind of like, you know what? I'm good.
I just think every kid should fall down numerous times while learning to ride a bike.
Oh, my kid's
got it. It's necessary.
My kid's got a, she's got a cut down the middle of her face from where she was. Okay. So this, we're going to wrap up. The show's over. We're going to wrap up. One, she's got a cut down the middle of her face from where she fell down and just like pushed her face across the pavement. Not great. The yeah. other thing, I'm taking off her sandals and I take off the left, take off the right sandal. Getting ready to take off the left sandal, I'm taking it off, and my wife goes, "Oh yeah, there's duck shit on that one."
Uh-huh. Yo, can we real quick before we wrap up? Because I don't think we've talked about these much, and I don't know how many people we have a pond in our neighborhood, so this is a problem. Fuck geese and their shit all over my sidewalk and road. Like I can't take my dog for a walk hardly in the neighborhood because like every three steps. There's another pile of goose shit that I have to keep her from eating.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Yeah, the goslings are adorable, though. Can we just say that?
Your dog doesn't know to not eat goose shit?
She's very, very young. 12 weeks old, Felder. We are working on it.
Dude, dogs love to eat other
yeah.
fecal matter that's laying yeah. out. Doesn't matter yeah. who left it. I mean,
she's yeah. got worms, dude.
God, I was about listen. I was gonna end on "I got worms," but I love it. Oh no, I'm missing a radio spot. I'm supposed to do. Oh well.
Who's calling?
Radio.
Like where? What market?
Charlotte.
Oh, those are your people, man. You can't let them down.
I'll call them back in a second.
All right, we can wrap. You can wrap.
Guys, this has been great. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I'm actually going to the website right now to see if we have any new reviews, things that we haven't read, just to see if any of you guys have done what we've asked you to do. And looks like, ooh, actually, yes, we did. Let's grow from Josky One. As someone who enjoys gardening and recently moved from the southeast to Arizona, the desert, this podcast is a great time. I'm working hard to keep to keep it going in the desert, and tips from the pod are helpful. So we're going to talk a little bit about arid gardening soon.
Bear down. Fun. Good stuff. Josh Key. Yeah.
Josh Key in the building. We doing it. Oh, no. They just tweeted out that I was going to be on the show, and then I'm not on the show. So, all right. Going to have to call him back. Don't worry about it. Folks, listen, like, subscribe, rate, review to the podcast. And Holly's the best. Holly's great. So we'll have her back on again soon, because what else are we going to do, right?
I'm actually worried that she's going to take my role here as co-host of the show. I mean, I think she's angling for it. So I got to keep my eye on her. Nah. I see you over there, Holly. I see you.
You're unreplaceable.
No, I mean, the heartbeats hasn't really been popping off, so I think I'm very replaceable.
Listen. We don't even have a nickname for fans of Serber or Felder.
Yeah,
we only have a name for the heartbeats.
All three of them.
Hey, well, listen, you have, that's three more than we have.
I got worms.
Let's grow.